Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. Or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. It's been a minute, ladies and gentlemen, but a lot of things have happened in the Chicago Bears universe. We have the, since we last spoke, we got the number one pick.
Facts.
Thanks to Lovey Smith.
Shout out to Lovey.
Shout out to Lovey. He's still a Bear at heart. It was one of the biggest Bears wins he had since the NFC Championship. You know,
yeah, shout out to Lovey for that.
Shout out to Lovey for that.
And he shot them the double birds as he walked out of the door, bro.
Yes, sir.
Like, oh, that's y'all gonna fire me? Okay, then watch this.
And they let it. They let it leak. They the ones that let it leak too. So it's all on them. They found anyone.
We got no love for the McNair family. You know, if people know their history, the Papa McNair, he's passed away. You know. He said something. He had a lot to say during the Kaepernick era, talking about the inmates running the asylum and you know, things like that. Kind of, you know, a little undertone. So, like, if you wonder why we were getting a little spicy on the Texans, that's why. And the fact that they hired and fired two black head coaches back to back.
Facts.
You know, they kind of fouled. But we got the number one pick. That's a big topic. Also, we're going to talk about the new president, you know, Kevin Warren. You know, he did his introductory press conference yesterday, and I was pleased, man, way more than I ever heard from Chad Phillips. But we can get off into the number one pick and hear everybody's thoughts about that, man. How we feeling about that number one overall pick?
I feel glorious, man, because again, I'm just kicking back and I'm going to enjoy this haul that we are about to receive. It's like a Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day feast. Just as you sit at the table and you get ready for all of the meal that you're about to receive, the feast that you're about to partake on, it's going to be fabulous. I'm looking for an RG3 type haul that the Rams gave up, because again, everyone think it's going to be the Texans. I think it's going to be some dark horse team. It might be like Miami. You know, again, they may be looking to get away from Tua. You know what I'm saying? Because one more concussion, his career is over with. They may buy him out of his $6 million. You know, it may be a wild card dark horse team who's willing to trade the farm to move up and do whatever they want, because they know that their number one pick is available to them if they're willing to give up the right price. You know, so I'm excited. Let's see what they do.
Yeah. Same. I've been saying it the whole time. If you get one, two, or three, trade down. Mm-hmm. Stack picks for next year. That's the good thing about this. We're going to walk away from this draft with a lot of draft picks this year. Help on the offense and defensive line, in my opinion. And then not only that, but we'll also be set up for next year, because we'll probably walk away from this whole situation with two first round picks next year, ours and somebody else's.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes,
so sir. If we do that, you know what I mean? I get into it later about what I feel like we can do with that next year.
It could parlay into so much, man.
Yeah.
It could parlay into Marvin Harrison Jr. We don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
We don't know.
Yeah. Well, you see teams that made moves like these, like one of our division rivals, man. We give them a lot of crap, man. But the Detroit Lions been freaking trading picks and trading players, and every draft they got like multiple picks in the first round.
They had two last year and they got two this year.
That's why they drafted Jameson, because they can afford to sit him.
Before y'all get into the Lions, though, I read something that happened around this time last year where Minnesota was trying to bring in Ryan Poles, and they asked Ryan Poles, if you were the general manager here, what would you do? He said, I would strip this team down to the studs because it's ran its course, and I would get rid of Kirk Cousins. You're not as this team is constructed right now, you're not getting any further than what you are.
And look what happened.
They didn't hire him for that. And the funny thing about it is, like you said, Will, and what happened? First round exit. Why? Why? They had the worst defense in the NFL.
They at the end of the day, I've never believed in Minnesota and what they were doing this year. They won 13 games, and it's a lot of people that was like, they won 13 games, this, that, and the third. But if you look at their point differential, they were upside down. So they either won the game by barely, or they got completely blown out.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So how can you win 13 games and be upside down in the point differential? That don't make sense.
That's crazy. I didn't even know that. Yep. But yeah, man, like the Bears can set themselves up. And also to touch on the Minnesota thing, man, and Ryan Poles, we had all these people screaming, just, we need to do more. In order to do more, with the way this team was constructed, with the amount of dead cap and the limited amount of cap space and all the holes that they had to fill, they would have had to push even more money into the future to make moves this year. Which all you're doing, and we've seen this doing the Ryan Poles era after 2018, he just kept pushing money into the future, and creating mediocre teams. So they were never good enough to win a Super Bowl, but they were never even bad enough to get a top pick or have a hell of amount of cap space. So Ryan Poles basically decided, no, bro, I'm tearing it all down. We just going to suffer year one. It is what it is.
That's the worst place you can be as a franchise.
Yeah, in the middle.
Stagnant, mediocre.
And that's what we've been.
Year after year.
Look at the Bears.
That's the worst place you could be.
Go look at Pro Football Reference and look at the Chicago Bears. Since like Lovie Smith, or even before, it's like 7-9, 8-8, 9-8. And every now and then we have a 10-6, 12-3, 12-4 season.
At once
then
every back 4 or 5 years.
6-10, 7-9, 9-8, 8-9.
That's why the Bears have never had a quarterback. People say they've never had a quarterback, they've never developed a quarterback. This is the first time the Bears have had the number one draft pick since 1947.
That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
This is 1947. Of course we ain't had no quarterback. We can't get one.
Right.
You know, drafted 18, 19 every year.
We ain't been nasty.
That's true. And it's funny because we actually have a quarterback and we have the number one pick. That's the craziest part.
Right, yeah. Right.
And we're gonna touch on that, right? We can get into the Justin Fields, man, with the idiocy.
Idiocracy.
Of the media, idiocracy, and some of the fan base. Maybe the Bears should draft Bryce Young and then trade Justin Fields.
A smaller, shorter, slower.
Weaker arm.
You know, the dumbest take that I've heard this week is that somebody was saying that, I forgot who it was, but they were saying that one of these national media members.
Ryan, it had to have been Tannenbaum.
I don't know who it was, but they were saying we basically like Poles and the Bears need to basically act like they're going to trade Justin Fields. So you should put it out there that, yeah, you want to trade Justin Fields and this, that, and the third. And, you know, that way somebody will want to come up and draft the quarterback because you're going to draft a quarterback because you're going to take Bryce Young. And I'm like, that sounds stupid. It's dumb. It doesn't even make sense because it's like, it doesn't matter if we wanted Bryce Young and we were going to trade, you know what I mean, get rid of Justin Fields, we would just do that. There is no, we want Bryce Young. We're all in on Bryce Young. But we'll give you the draft pick and let you take them. It doesn't even make sense. It's stupid. It's just dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, the logic. The logic, yeah. The logic is insane. Like, oh, yeah, they should. And I heard somebody say, well, I think who's Tannenbaum? I think Tannenbaum was like, I actually like Justin Fields.
He's going to be a top 10 quarterback in this league. I think you need to restart
the rookie contract. Like, hold on. You finally get a quarterback, reset the rookie contract scale because he's going to be on a rookie deal for 5 years. I'm like, hold on. The Bears have never had a quarterback. they finally get one, and you're going to trade them because you want to stay on the QB Ricky Wade scale for another 5 years.
That's called being a piss poor franchise, bro. Penny pinching at its best.
And I'm telling you, it's like what I said last week. I believe that's the running narrative. That's the joke of the NFL. The Bears have never had a quarterback. People know what Justin Fields is. Mm-hmm. They know what he's capable of, what he can do. And they don't want the Bears. They want to keep that narrative rolling. They want to have that to fall back on. These national media pundits, oh, the Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer. That's the running joke, and that's what they want to keep going. And I believe that. I truly believe that they don't want the Bears to have Justin Fields because of that.
How about the ones that, oh, look at the pass that Brock Purdy just did. Oh, my God, Justin Fields could never make that throw.
That clip, bro, like, I'm sitting there.
You almost got my man killed, bro. Like, literally got him towel boyed. You know, like when Michigan put in a towel boy on the water boy, and he got helicoptered going across the middle.
That clip that dude posted, right? The route, you can see where the route was running, right?
Oh,
the
receiver's
running to the outside.
It's luckily my man missed on his hit.
He's running to the pylon, bro. Yeah. The way Purdy throws the ball made him curve back towards the middle of the field. So now they're running at each other. They're running head on. This is about to be a head on collision. come on, man.
It was a scary clip.
Hey, luckily Diggs played, was not Diggs, but who's that safety in Seattle?
Is it Quadre?
Quadre
yeah. Diggs.
Yeah.
He played the ball instead of playing for the hit. If he would have played for the hit, he would have decapitated.
So basically he's lucky it's 2023 and not 2003.
Exactly.
If it was 95 and it was Steve Atwater or Ronnie Lott coming across the middle, he would have got laid out and it would have been terrible.
It would have probably been another situation that we saw on Monday night. Like, yeah. Seriously. All jokes God aside.
Bless. God bless. God bless that brother, man.
Yeah.
Mr. Hamlin. He's doing God better bless. Now. Yeah, man. Like, yeah, that's the stupidity. I'm like, bro, and these be the people they put. I'm telling you, they put NFL in their name or fantasy football or PFF in their name, and they think they know sports. They literally just put it in and just say random shit, and a bunch of people follow.
Oh my God, Justin could never make that throw. Look at that throw. Don't get me wrong, Brock Purdy is balling, but it's gonna come a time where he's gonna turn back into a pumpkin.
Dan, I said thanks for exposing yourself as a casual.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the 49ers,
they got loaded.
A fucking team, bro. They got Deebo, Brandon Ayuk.
Imagine when Trevor Lawrence come back.
CMC. Come on, bro. They got
if he come back.
Offensive line, bright offensive coordinator. Come on, man.
You got a running game, and you know it's no secret that San Francisco is physical, right? Mm-hmm. So when you go into the game, it's going to be a physical game. That's going to wear on you, and it's going to make the game closer. It's going to hide and protect the quarterback. And everybody knows it's a physical game because every single opponent that the 49ers have played this year, the following week, they lose. Why is that? Because they're physically beat up. They're worn down. You know what I'm saying? So whoever beats the 49ers in the playoffs, their biggest game is going to come the week after. So if the Cowboys are taking them on right now, their biggest game is going to come the week, you know, next week in the NFC Championship game, because you do get past them, you're going to be so beat up that you're probably going to lose that game the next week.
And then that next one, if they do get past the 49ers, that next one is a huge one because it'll be against the Eagles.
Yeah.
That's a huge one. So you're going from one physical game to another physical game.
I was
going to
say Eagles. Yeah. And you notice about both of those teams, we were talking about this last time recorded, they have stellar offensive and defensive lines.
Yes.
Stellar.
Yes.
You know, and so that's the name of the game, and that's why you can have Brock Purdy go out there. That man, you put Brock Purdy on the Bears, we wouldn't have won the game. Like, the whole thing with Justin Fields, I'm like, if you put Brock Purdy on the Chicago Bears, what would Brock Purdy look like? You'd be like, oh, he'll be trash. Okay, if you put Justin Fields on the 49ers right now,
he would be MVP,
they'd be Super Bowl contenders. Right. It wouldn't even be a doubt. No one would even debate that. So that's why when these people talk all this crap, I don't even pay attention to them. So my theory is make the Chicago Bears like the San Francisco 49ers. Load up. We got all this money. We got the number one pick. Trade down. I don't care if it's to the Colts, who are desperate as hell. Yeah. Speaking on that, I'm going to talk about that. Yeah, the Colts are desperate, and I'm going to tell you why it's smart for the Colts.
We do not want Michael Pittman, okay? Stop with that shit, people. We don't want Michael Pittman, okay? Stop. He's mid as fuck, all right? He's having a mid off right now. Oh, look at this quarterback.
Like I would take Michael Pittman, but don't make it like he's the centerpiece of the trade.
Oh my God, they talking like, you know, Michael Pittman is fucking Megatron. Like, cut it out, man.
It ain't like, no, nah, you can keep that. You can keep that first round pick. Just give me Michael Pittman. No.
They,
you know what I mean? Now if it's like a first. And instead of a third, you give me Michael Pittman. Okay, cool. I'm
right.
But exactly. he ain't the centerpiece of the trade. Like, I think fans are making him the centerpiece of the trade. You know, I don't think he's the centerpiece.
I'll take DeForest Buckner, and they can have that number one pick, and I'll, like, man, y'all tripping.
Yeah, that's why you need the GM.
Exactly. My God.
That's why they're not the GM. So we got a new president, man.
Yeah,
we got a new president.
That's huge. Shout out to Kevin Warren. That's huge, man. Like I said, for those who are unaware, and I got the receipts. I can go back where people was talking mad shit about Kevin Warren and saying, oh, this is terrible. How could they do this? How could they do that? Without doing your due diligence. So people, please, I advise you. I'm pretty sure a lot of people have access to YouTube. I'm pretty sure a lot of people have access to HBO Max. Just go and check out the Kevin Warren piece on Real Sports. And it talks about Kevin Warren from a child all the way up to an adult. You see what I'm saying? How he molded and fought and molded himself into what he is today, which is the CEO of the Chicago Bears. That's a hell of an accomplishment, man. From a family who doesn't go outside to hire anybody. They hired him.
Mm-hmm.
That's big, right? That's big. And one of the main selling points, it was funny when they was talking to old George McCaskey, when they asked him, what was one of the things that impressed you about Kevin Warren? He said, the fact that he got U.S. Bank Stadium, which is the Minnesota Vikings Stadium. Mm-hmm. He got it built under budget. And he got it built under budget. It came under budget, and it was finished ahead of time, ahead of schedule. I understand people don't want the Bears to move from downtown Chicago, but it's happening, folks. Whether you want it to or not, it's happening. And it's going to be like a damn, it's going to be like an amusement park.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a year-round thing. Not just go to Arlington Park for the Bears games. It's going to be a year-round thing to where you can be out there and the experience is going to be crazy. Where you can gamble, you can eat, you can throw parties and do everything out there in Arlington Park.
They're going to hold concerts, Final Four.
Exactly. Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowls, folks. Imagine that. You get in the Super Bowl 2, 3, 4 times a year. I'm sorry, 2, 3, 4 times. You know what I'm saying? In the next 20 to 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care. It is what it is with that whole Arlington Park thing. I'm not a fan of going to Arlington Park because I'd rather it be in Chicago. I'd rather the city of Chicago and the people of Chicago, the businesses, the hotels, the mom and pops restaurants, all of that type of stuff. I'd rather them get the benefit of the tourist attraction being the Chicago Bears Stadium rather than Arlington Park and the people out there. That's just me.
Well, you gotta put that at the feet of Beetlejuice. That's because she the one that dropped it, the mayor.
Yeah, and that's fine. You know what I mean? It is what it is. But that's my personal opinion. That's just because I'm from Chicago.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I'd rather see them get the benefits and reap the rewards of that, even the building of it, all of the people that would be involved in the building of it. There's tons of businesses out there that could stand to benefit from that. So, you know, just in my opinion, I'd like to see that, but it is what it is, man.
They were talking about that on ESPN 1000, and they were talking with Ted Phillips, and Ted Phillips has stated this was in 2019. Mm-hmm. He 2019, he has sent out telling them, you know, hey, we're thinking about doing upgrades or whatever to Soldier Field, yada yada yada, you know what I'm saying, please get back with us, you know what, yada yada yada. Nothing at all. and they didn't even respond to him. Then in 2021, after the whole COVID thing, he tried to reach out again and reached out to the mayor, you know, hey, this is what we're trying to do, yada, yada, yada. No return call, no nothing. I said, fuck it. I'm tired of begging. Why? Why do I have to beg you? I'm gonna go build my own shit. And then that's when she wanna start getting active. It's too late. Done and over with, no?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way cities can, you know, that's how they always do, though.
Damn, ignoring, don't even respond to nobody for years. Like, where they do that at?
Yeah.
And now she realizing she done fucked up. So she trying to run and try to make it right.
Oh, you should have did that. Yeah, you should have did that years ago. It's like relationship. It's like the relationship. You know, you fucked up, and then okay, I'm out. Oh no, I'm gonna be the best person I can be. You know, save you. You know, it's too late. You fucked up. You know, that's basically what it is. Like, and I feel the same way as you, Dan. I'm from Chicago, born there, Cook County Hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, but I get it. It's a business.
Yeah.
And the family is a business. And we talked about this. Virginia's older.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Georgia ain't even a spring chicken. You know, the Virginia, every day is a blessing. Every day you Virginia McCaskey's age, you wake up, you look at the sun, you say, thank the Lord, because your ass could be gone any minute.
Right.
Just is the she 100? She 100?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
100.
Yeah. So, you know, and we already talked about the rest of the family down the line. They don't care.
At all.
The McCaskeys aren't like rich. They aren't like, you know, Jeff Bezos, where they're rich from, you know, Amazon. They're rich from the Bears. So they're looking at it like, okay, Virginia's gone, George is old, and the rest of these motherfuckers don't care about the team. So make this team as valuable as possible, and then everybody can get their cut. Like we said, they do not care. And they don't care the ties to the city. They just like, I was born, my name is McCaskey, I want my cut.
That's it. They done bought the Hallises out. They done bought the Hallis side out.
Yeah. It's just Virginia and George. The rest of these people don't care, man. So it sucks. I'll miss going to Soldier Field on the lake, but, you know, I'm just trying to get my ass there before they shut it all down again, you know.
They said they might turn it into a squad for an AFC team. We'll see.
Yeah, two teams.
I ain't gonna be there, but
that's gonna be worse than the Clippers in LA.
Yeah.
Like, you a Clipper fan? What?
Right. That ain't gonna work.
like the Chargers in LA. No, bro. Yeah.
I'm telling you though, the Bears, once they start winning, that's gonna be the furthest from anybody mind. They start winning, going to the NFC Championship. And don't let them produce a Super Bowl. It's over. Because the parade ain't going down in Arlington Heights. It's going down to Chicago.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. It's still going to be the Chicago Bears. At the end of the day.
It's going to be at Grant Park.
Yeah, of course. It's, you know what I mean? It is what it is, man. Like, at this time, it is what it is. You know?
Be at Millennium Park. That's where they're going to be. Yeah,
same
man.
Same way the Dallas Cowboys went. Man. Yeah. The Dallas Cowboys. Right. Dallas didn't want to work with Jerry Jones. He went to Arlington, which is... You know, it's right between Arlington.
Yeah.
I mean, Dallas and Fort Worth.
Bro, SoFi's in Inglewood.
Mm-hmm.
The L.A. Rams and the L.A. Chargers play in Inglewood. Inglewood is not L.A., you know, for those who aren't from California. It's a totally different, it's not a neighborhood in L.A., it's a city. It's an entire different city, you know. So, yeah, man, I mean, shit, they were calling the Angels forever, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Anaheim.
Right. Los Angeles, Anaheim ain't nowhere near L.A.
That's facts.
It's a whole different county.
Look, they was calling the Detroit Pistons when they was playing in Auburn Hills.
Auburn Hills.
They just recently moved back to Detroit the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, screaming Detroit basketball, playing in Auburn Hills, bro.
Right.
This is what it is.
This is what it is.
This is what it is, man. But
hell, the Detroit Lions played in Pontiac.
Yeah.
Facts, you know what I'm saying?
Well, the Giants playing East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Right. Yeah. Real shit.
Same thing with the Commanders. They don't even play in the same damn state.
Yeah, they play in Virginia. They play in Maryland, don't they?
Maryland or Virginia. Yeah, I remember I went there. Yeah, it wasn't even in Washington, D.C. They play in a different state.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Braves. They built their, you know, they were in downtown Atlanta. Now they're way out, and I'm not going to no Braves games because of it, but they're way out because now they've moved to like Kennesaw, which is north of
Justin.
That's Justin Fields' hometown.
Atlanta by like 45 minutes. So you figure, you know, if it takes me, because I live on the south side, you know, or southeast side of Atlanta, if it takes me to get to downtown Atlanta, it probably takes me about 30 minutes and then another 45 minutes. Now you're talking about almost, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're talking about almost a 2-hour drive with traffic, you know, just to go to a game. I'm not doing that and then leaving and coming, you know, 2 hours there, 2 hours back. Now you, you know, so that's the only problem that I see that it making in Arlington with Chicago. But it is what it is, man, at this point.
They gonna be, Bears, it's gonna be packed.
All of that stuff, you know.
It's gonna be packed.
Yeah.
They'll still come to the games. Yeah.
Still have fun, still do their thing.
Yeah, man. And then a lot of people, I'm going to touch on this too, a lot of people try to make issues with Kevin Warren and Justin Fields before he was even hired. You know, I know you guys saw the tweets. Well, him and Justin Fields were going at it in during the COVID thing. Yeah. Justin wanted to play. Like, people blew that out of proportion, bro. Like,
yeah, like it was some type of beef. Street beef. I'm a gotcha because you ain't let me play, hey, fool.
There are a lot of black people in Hollis Hall right now. You know, some people. I think they might.
Right.
These are all educated men, man.
Exactly.
These people, man, these are people that give their takes on stuff, and it's just, you know, it's just dreamed up fabricated crap, bro. You know what I'm saying? And they wanna, you know, who's gonna, like you said, like it's a street beef or like they really beefing over it. Oh, Justin was leading the charge and he was going against Justin. I've heard people say, I hope he doesn't cancel any more of Justin's games. Like, seriously, what are y'all talking about?
I'm glad he killed that though in that press conference, because he told him, he was like, look, I have a very personal relationship with Justin Fields. Right,
exactly.
When he got drafted, I was the one that called him at right after the Chicago Bears drafted him and congratulated him. So, you know, people come up and try to throw shit at the wall and see if it stick, but y'all gonna have to start coming up with some new lies now.
Because that was weak, bro.
Yeah, everything y'all trying to come up with, they straight up blowing holes in y'all theories, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, they showed that they had a picture. I think it was in the video. They were giving each other dap and hugs. I mean, like, they already got a relationship. I thought it was dope though that he went to a game as a fan
when they played against the Eagles.
Yeah. And he said,
he was like, "I bought a ticket."
Yeah,
I sat in the stands.
He squared away, man.
Yeah.
He squared away. So, that, like, a lot of people thinking, like, he was some, like, you know, affirmative action hire. You can dismiss that. His resume speaks for itself.
He's super qualified.
Yeah.
And this is a real sports interview, what a lot of y'all don't know, I'm going to drop the bombshell on y'all right now. For those who didn't know and didn't watch it, he is the hand-picked successor to Roger Goodell. That's the big rumor, that he's hand-picked to be the successor to Roger Goodell when he steps down. So this is a very, very qualified man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think people were saying, that people call him a ladder climber, you know, because he's always trying to promote and all this. I mean, he's ambitious. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that, man. But it's crazy, man. The Chicago Bears and a lot of people, and I got to say it, you know, we ain't no damn social justice warriors, but to have a black president of the Chicago Bears, the charter franchise, a black GM, and a black quarterback.
Who would have ever thought?
That's wild to me.
Who would have ever
thought? Chicago, yeah, that's wild. You know?
Who would have ever thought? That's real shit right there.
You know. So, shout out to the McCaskies, man. Shout out to the McCaskies for leading the charge, bro. Because, you know,
being active, man, being proactive and thinking forward. Man. You know what I'm saying? And you know, we've complained about it time and time again. They talk about football people in their building and things like that, and this, that, and the third. And they've done everything they can. Like I've mentioned it, they've been making the decisions that are benefiting the team. You know, going forward, they've been making all the right decisions. And you know, it's just another one in the clip that you could say that they're making the right decision on. I think this guy is well qualified. I think everybody is well qualified that they've hired, and I think the future is bright for Chicago Bears because of it.
That's facts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Very bright. But also, kudos to Tanisha Wade. Tanisha Wade, who was on the hiring panel, and pretty much opened up George McCaskey's eyes to diversity and pretty much got him like, look, this is the person right here. Pulled his coattail to Ryan Pace. Blasphemous. Ryan Poles. Let me correct myself. Pulled his coattails to Ryan Poles and then pulled his coattail to Kevin Warren. That's integral. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing is that I don't necessarily know that these moves happened without her, because it seemed like our franchise was just used to doing the same old shit. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Used to doing what was status quo, and it wasn't never working out. And you'll get retread people from this place, that place, you know, and it's just wash, rinse, and repeat. That's all it was. And that's why we've been stagnant and been 8-8, 7-9, 8-8, 7-9, 9-7, 8-8, 12-4.
Mm-hmm.
Back to 5-11. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Stuff like that. So it didn't bear any fruit, you know. So it seemed like it's a fresher set of eyes up from the top on down. A fresh set of eyes, a new way of thinking and doing things. And yeah. I'm excited to see how this goes, you know. Like they said, like Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles are friends. They are friends, you know what I'm saying? Know each other on a personal level.
Oh, that was another, whoa, but you hiring a president like that, he's going to be meddling. He ain't going to be meddling.
Nah, not at all.
People just, they can't be happy.
At all.
I get it, though. Like you said, Nez, the Bears are doing something right now. They're going through a transition we've never seen before.
Right.
We've never completely tore it down, right?
Right.
We hadn't, like Dan said, we haven't had a number one pick since the freaking World War II era, mm-hmm. you know? So, never had this much cap space. Never had a guy who we was like, damn, this dude is the quarterback. This is all different. So, like, the way people are acting sometimes a little bit, I ignore a lot of it because I'm just like, y'all don't know what the hell y'all are. You know, it's like a new toy and they don't know how to play with it.
Yeah, you don't know what you're witnessing right now. You won't appreciate it until it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And then you sit back and be like, damn, that's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was. Yeah. That's what it's going to be. Because, like I said, they deliver a Super Bowl, boy, it's gonna be some pissed off people. It's gonna be some
I think they'll get over their feelings.
Oh, of course.
I think they'll get over it. When it happens, they'll be like, I was wrong. You know, they'll be making those videos. I admit I was wrong.
Right.
But it'll take that. It'll take a lot.
I'm looking at like a run like the Blackhawks had for our Chicago Bears. I'm looking at that run within like a 6-year span, yeah. Dominance.
Yeah,
6-7 year span of just pure dominance, championships, everything. You know what I'm saying? I'm super looking forward to that, because again,
the NFC's wide open, man.
To reiterate, the Lions and us are on the up in our division. Meanwhile, the Packers and the Vikings are down, trending down.
Mm-hmm.
Packers fucked up. I'm gonna tell you that now. You don't give a waffler or a flip-flopper that type of power when you sign him to that type of deal, knowing he tried to hold you hostage last year.
They had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they did have a choice. Trade his ass.
Yeah.
Or call his bluff. You could have traded anyway.
They could have, but who's going to trade? You know, nobody's going to trade a guy who's coming off of back-to-back MVP seasons. You know, he won those MVPs purposely. You know, he stat padded in order to do it. And he said it at the end of the year, he came in and he said in that interview, I threw a monkey wrench in their plans. I knew mm-hmm. what their plans was. I threw a monkey wrench in their plans. Now they got to change it.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that. Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of trending down, and that's why they drafted Jordan Love. They were like, okay, we'll prep Jordan Love. And then Jordan Love just didn't turn out to be good. And they started practice. And they were like, okay, Aaron Rodgers is playing like an MVP, and the guy you drafted ain't really that good. He's mediocre. So he kind of screwed them in that way, which is good. We saw this going down, bro. And I was like, good. Sign him. Sign him to where he has your franchise in a chokehold. And, bro, they don't have any money. People talk about, we got to – no. And then they did the whole – they didn't tear it down, which they should have tore it down. They went ahead and was mediocre,
mm-hmm.
tried to get a wild card berth. They were getting stomped out by the 49ers, even if they got in the playoffs. But, oh, look, you didn't even make the playoffs. And you don't even have a low enough pick You're not even in the top 10. You're in the middle of the pick.
19.
So you can't even pick. If you wanted to move on from Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers, you can't even do it unless you trade future draft capital. And your cap's still messed up. So you can't even surround. It was like how the Bears were last year. They had a quarterback and couldn't put anything around him because the cap was messed up. And then you won't have a first-round pick the next year to even put more talent around them. Mm-hmm. You know, so they put themselves in the corner. We already know the Vikings. The Vikings screwed. They old. All those defensive players, Barr, all those guys are getting old. Danielle Hunter, Kirk Cousins. I don't even know how they're going to play Justin Jefferson. They ain't even got any cap space. They're going to have to clear people out just to sign J.J.
They already said, I just read it today, that they already said that they want Kirk Cousins to come back and they're going to work on an extension for him as well. So I'm like,
bravo.
Thank you. Let's get it done. Let's get it done.
Hey, man, the NFC is wide open, bro.
Yeah.
The like good team like that's on the rise. I think the Lions are good, but they still need a quarterback. The Eagles, man, I'm like that, like a team that's built in the 49ers, of course. They'll always be good as long as they got that defense and offensive line. They can figure out the quarterback. But those, like, the other teams, the NFC's wide open. If the Bears build this thing right, man, like you said, this can be dominance.
Mm-hmm. Years and years.
You got to do it through the trenches, though, man. I'm telling you. There's a lot of people that want a wide receiver. These wide receivers that are coming out this year, you got Jackson Smith and Jigma. You got Jordan Addison. He's cold. You got a couple other guys, but for the most part, none of these guys are that great. And that's why the Chase Claypool pick, this is forward thinking. This is bold forward thinking. We said it when it happened. When they made that trade for Claypool, what you going to get in the second round that's better than Claypool in this draft?
Right now?
Nothing. Right. Not in the second round at wide receiver. Right. So trading that pick for Chase Claypool was great, right?
Yeah, because the move was for next year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The move was for next year. You let him get a season of off-season workouts and development with Justin Fields and see what he has, you know, next year going in. And hopefully it pans out. And that's the way you're looking at it. So I expect the Bears to look at free agency, get somebody in free agency, address the offensive and defensive lines in the draft, maybe grab a running back and also a wide receiver in the draft as well later round. And that's what I see. That's what I see for the Bears going forward. And if they do that, then they'll be fine.
It's going to be interesting, man. They can go so many paths. And you already see it now. Like, I don't engage in it because I don't know what the hell they're going to do because I've never seen the Bears in this position.
Right.
So it's hard for me to even try to, like, fathom. Like, they could trade to 10th. They could trade with the Colts. They can trade and move all. They can have a first-round pick. They can have two first-round picks this year and a pick next year. It's all kind of – like, my brain can't even wrap my head around it, so I don't even try, bro. It's possible these fools can trade down, still draft Will Anderson and Smith and Jigba in the first round.
Right.
And they might be able to trade down twice.
Yeah, it's crazy what they can do. And so in the free agency too, because people don't understand, there's a floor. Some people are like, well, they have the money and they won't spend it. No, fool, you have to spend so much money.
No, I think it's 95%.
Yeah, you got to spend money. You can't just like...
I was looking at the draft, like, compensation packages and things like that, and what would match up and stuff like that. And I just, for the sake of looking at it, I looked at Detroit and I looked at Chicago. The number one draft pick is a 3,000 point. It's based on a point system, so it's worth 3,000 points. Detroit, I think, is drafting number six, I think they are.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And number six. That pick is worth, like, 1,600, right? And then they got, like, the number 18th pick or something like that, right? Or somewhere around there. It's 18, 19, something like that. And that pick is worth, like, 1,200. So it still didn't add up. Those two picks, if Detroit said, hey, we want a quarterback, we'll give you our first two draft picks this year, swap with you, basically. We'll give you the 6 and the 18. It still wouldn't add up. They would still have to come back and give us another second-round pick as well, right, in order to make the compensation fair.
That's so crazy.
The Bears have a lot of different ways that they can look at. That's just for an example, you know what I mean? I know they're not going to trade with Detroit, but I just wanted to know, you know, what the compensation package
is. There's a couple of teams that got multiple first round picks in the first round in the draft. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a couple of them. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's a couple.
Detroit, Seattle, and it's Detroit, Seattle, and
Houston does, right?
Houston does.
Yeah,
that's
Houston
three.
Does. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. It can get crazy, and they got to spend a certain amount of money. You know, I know, like, a name to watch. I know Nez is big on the wide receiver ones. And this is his boy, and I know he's boys with Justin because they went to Ohio State. But the Saints in salary cap. Hell!
Yeah, and Chris Olave.
Yeah, but no. Another dude. They call him Slant Boy.
Oh, yeah. That's
His cap hit is insane. And the Michael Saints Thomas. Almost have to cut him.
Yeah.
Because ain't nobody, it's like $40 million.
But damn, like, hell no.
I'm not talking about trade. I'm saying they're going to cut his ass.
Oh, yeah. Cut him up in free agents. Yeah. Pick him up off the
You have to cut him. He's 30. He ain't played last year. You pick
he
him
got
up.
Fresh legs.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I was looking at it. I was reading an article.
Damn, like, hell no.
No, I ain't talking about trade for him. I don't think the Bears are going to.
He just don't want a period.
He don't want a period. I'll take Michael Thomas. We can sign him to a 1-year deal, bro.
Man, I like Michael Thomas, man. He a monster.
Come on, man.
Bro.
You have him and
him and Justin together
outside.
Would be a problem for real.
With Mooney
if
in
he
the
can
slot.
Stay healthy.
This is my problem. This is my only problem with Michael Thomas. He ain't had a legitimate year since 2019, bro.
Yeah.
Man, bro, I ain't talking about trading for him.
I know. I'm just saying. I don't feel like he's gonna be worth a dime, bro. I'm just gonna be real.
But you gotta spend the money. But bro, the Bears could easily sign him to a 1-year, $15 million deal, and if he don't work out, whatever. It was like no. You still got that cap space next year. And you got it. You gonna see a lot of that this year too. You gonna see dudes getting 1-year deals. Like good 1-year deals, not like minimum. You're going to see like decent players get 1-year, $10 million deals because you got the cap space.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see a lot of that. Like
3 years
removed,
though, man. 3 years removed. That's all.
But I don't think the Bears, unless they get a shitload of draft capital, I don't see them trading a whole bunch of picks for players. I don't. I think they're going to do the draft, trade down, and they're going to feel like the ranks for free agency with solid players.
To be honest with you, that might be the worst signing in NFL history. He laid down, bro.
Who's that?
And I know Mike? He got injured. Yeah, I know he got injured, but come on, dog. God dang, bro. I'm just looking at his – I mean, he went, 104, 125, 149 for catches. And then in 2020, 40, nothing in 2021, and 16 in 2022. 3 years, man, and he done had.
Yeah, he getting cut.
Catches.
He getting cut, bro.
That might be the worst contract in NFL history. But you know what? That's why I don't understand.
Hey.
No, everybody loves, and this goes back to black coaches, white coaches, and the disparity or, how unfair it is. Because you got Sean Payton, who completely demolished and Dalton just trashed the whole roster and everything there and blew up the salary. They don't even have good players. Why is the salary so jacked up? You know what I'm saying? Salary cap. So you have that and he
they had Cam Jordan, Drew Brees, and
he won one Slant Super Boy. Bowl. One Super Bowl a long time ago, right?
10 years ago.
But everybody's drooling and salivating over him while Lovie Smith gets fired. All of these black coaches don't get chances. Byron Leftwich is now on the hot seat all of a sudden in Tampa Bay. You know what I mean? And to me, it's just like, man, this is crazy.
But cats like Sean Brandon Payton? Staley can stay forever after his debacle and meltdown. Like, how are you still here?
It's crazy.
Chargers choke. Choking Chargers, yeah.
Anthony Lynn was fired from the Chargers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all he did was get... Yeah, it's wild, man. But this offseason, it's going to be fun. I already can see the Bears Twitter debates raging, man. We should sign this guy. We should draft this guy. This guy, bro, it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild.
That's my biggest thing. Everybody that's available, and I'll be telling Bears fans this, everybody that's available, we don't have to beg for it. Please.
Right.
Don't seem desperate. At the end of the day, we have the number one pick. People should be begging the Bears for that pick.
Well, that's the fans. We don't have to. Ryan Pace is smart. Yeah,
he knows that. He knows that. Yeah. I'm sure. But I'm saying the fans need to follow suit and understand that too. Don't get out here and start mocking up different people in different jerseys, and I don't want to see that on the timeline.
Like they did Justin Fields. All these fools at Justin Fields mocked in their jerseys, and now they hate them. Oh, this is another argument I heard, bro. that the Bears won't be able to trade the number one pick because people are going to call that bluff. They why trade if the Bears aren't going to pick a quarterback? I'll just sit there. No. You fools never done negotiations. Like, the Texans want a quarterback. They want Bryce Young.
Yeah.
They're at number two. The Bears' leverage is that, hey, you want Bryce Young? You can trade with us. Or we're going to trade to somebody else that want Bryce Young. Because we don't need a quarterback. We got Justin Fields. That's why you don't have to play like we're going to trade Justin Fields. You can just say, all right, you want Bryce Young? Texans, then give us your pick and give us the other first round pick and we'll call it square.
Facts.
Because if you don't, then I'm going to trade with the Colts. I'm going to trade with the Colts for that fourth this year, the fourth pick this year, the second this year, a future first, and a future third, and Michael Pittman just to piss off Nez. And then we're going to make it happen in a fifth round pick in 2025. So that's leverage. That's how you play the game. And if they don't do it, then I'm going to call the Seahawks and be like, hey, Seahawks, I know you guys need to – I think they got the fifth pick. Or the Raiders. Any of these guys that want a quarterback.
You got a lot of teams that want quarterbacks. And I'm you know, Houston, of course, right? We're talking about them. The Las Vegas Raiders, possibly, right? The Colts, Commanders. Of course. The
Commanders.
Yep. Tennessee,
Carolina.
Maybe. Tennessee, maybe.
Yeah, Carolina. Right? Yeah, definitely.
Carolina. Maybe the Jets.
Yes.
New England. Yes, I say yes.
New England.
Yes.
Right? The Commanders, we already said. Tampa Bay, possibly.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because Brady gone.
Brady gone.
Seattle.
Yep. Yep.
And maybe Miami.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, you got so many different suitors. Yeah, you got suitors everywhere. Baltimore, maybe. Even
Baltimore, because, yeah.
They ain't.
Lamar not coming back.
Yeah, no. I mean, unless they franchise tagging.
Yeah, they probably will. They probably a franchise tag. They treat him like a random, like they do running backs. Like, oh, we don't know if his knee's healthy because his knees hurt. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, when people are saying that, bro, I'm just like, I shake my head. I'm like, bro, you don't have to be desperate. Like, the Bears are just sitting back smoking cigars, drinking cognac right now. I'm chilling. I ain't got to think about making a move.
Somebody's going to want to come up there.
Bro, I bet you they already called. Yeah. You know him and Chris Ballard talk. They boys. Yeah. Hey, Ryan, how you doing today, buddy? Want to go golfing?
Exactly.
It's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. And then that Senior Bowl, you know, y'all know what the Senior Bowl, what happens during the Senior Bowl in the combine, right?
Yes, sir.
That's when all the deals get brokered.
Yep.
Guess who's going to be a popular man in the combine? Ryan Poles, Ian Cunningham.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Ian Cunningham, he got interviewed for the Cardinals job. He didn't get it, but that's positive because that means one day he will get hired. And if he has 2 years on and he leaves for an executive job, like he gets promoted.
Compensation.
We get compensation, baby.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Like, we're playing 3D chess.
Thinking years in advance.
Years in advance. It's a beautiful thing, man.
Definitely.
It's an exciting time to be a Bear fan, man. Enjoy it. Stop being dickheads.
Stop being miserable.
Stop panicking. Yeah.
Insufferable.
And if they don't do what we want them to do, because I got my plan as to what I feel like they should do. But if it doesn't go that way, I'm trusting that they're doing the right thing. They get paid to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
So, hey, do your job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to trust that you're going to do your job. If it fails, then you know, now we understand why and whatever. But for the most part, man, trust what they're going to do. You know, let these guys operate. Stop being so critical and meatheads about it and move on, man.
Yeah. And I do got to say, too, like, you can just look at one caveat. The Bears didn't have a lot of draft capital this year, right? They didn't have a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. Brisker turned out pretty damn good. Kyler Gordon, despite people trying to make him bad because they wanted George Pickens, turned out pretty damn good. Jack Sanborn is an undrafted rookie free agent. Braxton Jones is a damn left tackle we drafted in the fifth round. That's not bad. Valus Jones started to come on at the end of the year, and people wanted to throw him under the bus as well. I mean, he ain't going to be probably a superstar, but he can return punts. He's a good guy.
We don't know yet,
speed guy. We don't know yet, though. But he seemed to do pretty damn good with what we were working with.
Yeah.
And we weren't working with much. So now that we working with something, let's see what they can do. And listen, if they mess up, we'll be in the ass.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. We're not ain't giving nobody no passes around here.
But you got to give them a chance to mess up.
But it's their job to mess up, right?
Yeah.
Y'all see we got Getsy at the Senior Bowl, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's representing our Bears at the Senior Bowl. They stopped it from having a whole entire coaching staff to just one coach now.
Oh, I was wondering why they just had him. I thought Foose was like, yeah. No, that's cool. Hey, that tells you something, too. He's probably looking at offensive players.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at offensive players. But that's cool, too, that you get to go to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Because you're the number one pick. So you get to see those players up close and personal.
Before everybody else do.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's just hope Getsy, you know, he don't FUBAR this up.
Nah, you know they got scouts there. Yeah. They got all them scouts. Yeah, they're going
to
be in there.
Hey, I want you to get this guy.
Yeah, but they get to see how they act on the sideline and how they interact, the actual personality, if they're a dickhead or not. I think that's probably a bigger thing. Their practice habits, how they practice, what's their attitude like. You know, they're going to be looking at all that stuff. Hey, man, it's an exciting time to be a Bear, man. I ain't got nothing else.
No trash tweet of the
week. Unless y'all got something else. Man, there's been so many trash tweets. The trash tweet you mentioned was that one dude who posted that clip of Brock Purdy, dude. Yeah. That dude was a trash tweet.
Justin Fields could never. Fuck out of here.
That guy was a trash tweet of the week, man.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm going to say it. I got it. Was, his name is Adam Stark at Everyday FFB. This dude got 11,000 followers. This is amazing. Yeah, he's a.
He, a guy like that has 11,000 followers who obviously doesn't understand the game of football. It's pretty obvious, bro.
Yeah. Wow.
I was like, man, you could have did Brock better than that.
The blind leading the blind, bro.
That's facts.
He's the trash tweet of the week.
Fuck him.
Oh, man.
Trash tweet of the week. All day.
That's all I got, gentlemen.
Yeah, man. That's it for me, man.
Same here.
Yo, appreciate y'all.
Anything happens next week, we'll definitely come back and hit y'all. But if ain't much happening, we got to, you know, we pretty much going to start coming up with, needs, dire needs and whatever else, you know, for the draft and everything else. But that's a long time down the road from now.
Free agency until what, March?
March. Yeah.
So you got to find out who's even going to be a free agent, because like right now, everybody's like, we need to get this guy. We need to get that guy. You got to see who's going to get franchise tag. Who gonna get workout extension in the last minute?
Exactly.
Yeah, we can touch on that basically. Yeah. Like who we think might be around here. We got a couple of people like St. Brown. We already know he coming back. They worked out a 2-year deal for him or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. That was thinking ahead too, because they probably like ain't no damn wide receivers. At least you know Justin and EQ stepped up. He ain't no like world beater, but you know he's solid. He can block. He was reliable for Justin. At least you know you're working with those three. You're working with Claypool, Mooney, EQ, and you bring back Velus.
Right.
So you at least got somewhat of a wide receiver. You still need a dog. Yes, we need a dog, but we got to see if a dog is available.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We don't know who's available right now, and that's the crazy. That's why we can't even talk. We just be talking shit.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know. But they trade for Hopkins? They said Hopkins did. Does he want to come to Chicago? Is it no trade clause? Will he believe in what we build and not the free agency? You know, it's so many moving parts, bro. You drive yourself insane, man. So don't drive yourself insane, man. That's all I got. That's all we got. Till next time.
That's it, man. Y'all take it easy.
Peace.